This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders insider. He's with us every Monday and Friday at 12 noon. He was in Baltimore yesterday for the 30-23 loss to the Ravens. We'll start where we start with Ben every week. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Standing, listen to his podcast, Last Man Standing, and read him on The Athletic. What'd you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think this is the game that's sort of the Rorschach test for how you view this team. If you're the type of person that is miserable going to bed Sunday night or waking up Monday when they lose, then you're obviously not going to be happy. You know, the defense left a lot to be desired. The cornerback situation, we've talked about it for months, has been a concern, and it was very much exposed in a game in which Washington tried to sell out a bit to stop the run. Did so a little bit early, but as the game went on, you know, Lamar just had a pick-your-poison situation and could do what he wanted, and I'm not sure how they shore up the corners. On the other hand, if you take the big-picture approach, you know, I don't know how you're still not, you know, wildly impressed with Jaden Daniels. I went back and watched the TV version today, and, you know, just to get to see it the way you guys did, not be, you know, not from the press box and weird angles. You know, his calm, his poise, some of the throws that he made, the decisions, some of the play calls from Kingsbury were really impressive. And it was a lot of, you know, they never seemed to, fade mentally or anything. Once the Ravens started to get going, you know, the first half, both times the Ravens scored, Jaden Daniels drove them down the field, once for a touchdown, once for a field goal attempt. So I think on that side of things, another game where he really stands out and makes you feel, you know, continue to feel good about the future. But in the short term, you know, they haven't been able to stop the run at all. Like I said, the cornerback situation is fairly bleak, and you know, it's without Brian Robinson, obviously they lost an element of their dual threat situation. You know, with that, I thought this was also a game where the offensive line got beat up a little bit more when the Ravens felt they could, you know, pin their ears back, as they say, and, you know, rush. But that's how I would say, you know, short term, a lot of questions about the defense. Long term, Jaden Daniels just continues to be very impressive.
Let me ask you about Forbes and Davis. Any explanation as to why both were inactive?
No, we didn't. You know, obviously there's so much going on. We didn't get to that. The guarantee it'll come up today. I think here's the thing. I think for Forbes, my sense is it's pretty clear. He can't play special teams, right? He's too thin, too small, what have you, to deal with that. And so when you're a backup on an NFL team, you kind of have to be able to play special teams in order to justify, you know, your presence. They brought up the guy, Kayvon, I'm Walker. Blanking here. Walker, yeah. He's a special teams guy, right? So he's playing, you know, corner depth, but he's really there for special teams for the most part.
I'm thinking of Michael Walker. Who are you thinking of? I forget who.
Well, I'll look up it. Blank. Kayvon, they just signed up a few weeks ago out of the Ravens. But anyway, so that's going to get the issue with Forbes. Seymour, yes, thank you, sorry. For Jamin Davis, it goes back to what we've talked about for months. I said back when he made the team, I didn't understand it in the sense that he's got 1 year left on his deal. I don't see how he's turning this thing around quickly enough to help them this year. And if he's got 1 year left, what does that do for you for the long term? I mean, the fact that F.A. Obada, who has not played at all since – last year when he had
I don't even know how many snaps he played, but he played a bunch of them.
Yeah, he was in there for about 32 snaps.
Was he? Wow.
Or maybe it was 32% of the. Maybe it was 32% of the snaps. But in any event, he hasn't played in a year. He only started practicing fairly recently, and he's active over Jamin Davis. That one to me is more obvious. I just don't think he's ready to help. But the Forbes one, I just wonder if they have to make a call. Is he that much less as a guy on the field at corner to justify him not even being active, when you can have, hypothetically, put Sanders still back in the slot, have Forbes on the outside, and maybe have, two guys in better situations for where you want to see them long term. But clearly at the moment, he only played four snaps last week.
Right.
So, this is an ongoing trend. And when we've asked about kind of like what's the rotation, they'll just say, hey, we're doing whatever we think we need to do for that specific game. But, the games against Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson are very different game plan types. And yet he wasn't, a factor in either one. So that one is very fascinating. I mean, by the way, we've talked about this many times. The fact that didn't have a first round draft pick on the field selected between 2018 Daron Payne and Jaden Daniels this year is just unbelievably telling, obviously, of what's transpired around here.
Yeah. I think for me, the one thing that I would love to find out is yesterday you had, your idea was to load up the box and, stop the run and force Lamar to throw with single high and a lot of man coverage behind it. You got no big receivers. You got a smaller guy who can really run. And the only guy they have with legit speed in terms of their corners is Forbes. He struggled with bigger guys, but he doesn't struggle running. And I would have taken the 10 or 12 or 15 snaps, whatever it was, with what's-his-name Seymour, and I would have said, we'll put somebody else in his spot. I need somebody to cover Zay Flowers, or at least have a shot against Zay Flowers. I'm sure they have very good reasons for it. They're not confident in him. And it could be like things that we're not even thinking about, like preparation and, communication and all of that stuff. But they don't have any speed. They don't have anybody that can run in their secondary. That's a problem. You look at Chicago, what they're going to be bringing in 2 weeks at receiver.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I think Adam Peters and the front office deserve a lot of credit for what they assembled this year with the roster and all that. But, again, I don't think this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. When Michael Davis was the one vet that they brought in, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe he's at least a guy that you feel comfortable enough with to play, either a fair amount or when somebody else is struggling, you can plug in. He played the one game against the Giants. Malik Nabers torched him and everybody else, and we haven't seen them since on defense, and that's left you with – I think the other thing is, having to play Sanders still on the outside. Look, I think Sanders still is a gamer, and I like where he's, as a longer-term prospect, but he's, a smaller guy. He's overmatched often on the perimeter, and this is not where I imagine they would see him long-term. They're just having to do this now. Noah Igbinoghi is a slot guy. So that's how they're trying to find their best options. But, boy, to have to play your rookie undersized slot guy on the outside as a definition of your best isn't good. And then, for St. Juice, he's obviously going to get, picked on by people watching this. Well, he's getting picked on by the other teams because he's being asked to do something that he isn't, cover number one receivers. So, it's just kind of a mess back there, and I don't know what, you know, I've been mentioning for weeks, I'm not sure why they haven't gone out and signed, you know, look, these guys are street free agents for a reason, but there's some names out there. Can't imagine they'd be worse than what we're seeing right now, so you have to wonder at some point, does Adam Peters make a move, even if it's just to sign a guy who's a current free agent?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be a topic here over the next couple of weeks. I mean, it is a glaring problem. Look, they're not going to face Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And I don't know what you thought, but I said coming into this game that watching the Cincinnati game last week, Lamar Jackson's at a different level this year. And he was at a different level yesterday. He's great. They're not going to have to face that again. But like I mentioned, you know, Chicago loaded at receiver. Caleb Williams starting to get, you know, more confident. They'll have to face, you know, actually, you just look at them. They'll get Malik Nabers again. The Steelers aren't very good offensively. The Eagles and Cowboys right now, I mean, it's CeeDee Lamb. The Falcons, that's way down the road. They're pretty lethal right now offensively, but maybe we just saw a matchup that just was so one-sided that it's distorting it. But I don't think that, you know, their run-stopping has been distorting it all year long. You mentioned, and I want to flip it to the other side of the ball, that, you know, they didn't have Brian Robinson Jr. It's been a topic of conversation this morning. My personal view is I don't know that it would have mattered. I think they moved the football. They had an opportunity offensively to be in the game. The offense was it was another good day. Do you think that they would have tried to run the ball a bit more with Brian Robinson Jr. against that very stout run defense?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, Robinson can also catch the ball, and, you know, finding ways to extend, you know, drives, you know, however it is to keep the ball away from the Ravens, I think that's a natural lean. You know, I can't say for sure, but you have to imagine that when you're missing that kind of a guy, even if Cliff Kingsbury says, yeah, we want to stay a balanced offense focused on running the ball, you have to naturally lean away from it knowing you don't have that guy. You can't, I mean, Austin Eckler is obviously a pretty powerful guy for someone his size, but you can't run necessarily the same plays up the middle. And Jeremy McNichols, as fun as he's been the last few weeks, you know, there's a reason why he's, you know, bounced around the league. He's not somebody you're going to give the ball to a ton, especially against that kind of a defense. So, yeah, I have to think it does make a big difference to not have Robinson there, even if it's just, you know, viewed again as the threat, or you use him as a passing option, knowing that the other team, you know, the Ravens are going to key on him a bit. So I do think that had to be a bit of a factor. But again, you're right. I mean, Jaden Daniels, for the most part, was able to, you know, move the ball, you know, again, not as efficient as they were necessarily during their sort of the record breaking part of this early season. But I just think, and again, just at a base level, forget the Ravens. They only have, I think, as we would all be agree, they only have basically Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson, maybe we can say Austin Eckler as like legit playmakers. And everybody else is doing fine, but you take one of those off the field, now all of a sudden you even have less explosive options. So, yeah, I definitely think it was a big loss.
We'll just agree to disagree on that one. For yesterday, just yesterday, I'm not talking about in general. I just think that the game plan with him or without him was going to be to drop Jaden back a lot more in the game. God, I had something that I was going to ask you. Oh, I think this was one of the numbers don't necessarily reflect it. 6 catches, 53 yards, you know, 7 targets, 2 touchdowns. But I think we're really starting to see some real chemistry develop between the quarterback and Terry. I thought that was some high-level Terry McLaurin yesterday. I mean, just some really good catches on excellent throws, but still tough catches that he made. What'd you think?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the next-gen stats, you know, they track each week things like the most improbable receptions of the week, and McLaurin's 2 touchdowns were both in like the top 13 of any catches for the week. I mean, the touchdown, the second one to the front corner of the end zone, was just a ridiculous pass, and he made a great catch on that for sure. I wish they would sort of stop using McLaurin around the line for these like bubble screens and reverses, though. That doesn't seem to be his his game, but you put him down the field, let him, you know, find an opening or make a contested catch, and he is, you know, all that. So, yeah, I think no doubt that's becoming a huge key. I was watching, you know, on the replay, like sort of like the all 22 on the first touchdown. You know, you see Jaden Daniels like looking out towards like the right corner of the end zone. He's looking to the right, and there's Terry running the back, and then he just turns his head and whips the ball, knowing that Terry or feeling that Terry would be there. And it was a perfect pass, perfect decision. You know, watching Jaden, sometimes I'm already forgetting that he's a rookie because of things like this. Like, you know, he's making – I mean, listening to Tony Romo just gush about what this guy is doing. I know Tony Romo kind of gushes a fair amount regardless, but in this case it feels, you know, feels warranted. So, I think that's been a great combo. And, you know, look, to say that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback Terry has had is, you know, like saying if I, you know, went on a date with Mila Kunis, that would be the you know, the best date I ever had. So, you know, it's pretty obvious
you mentioned her a lot over the years. That she's
and
your girl.
It's my default. Well, you know, attractive. You know, all alike.
It's okay. Everybody's got their go to, and that's yours clearly. all right. What about John Allen and Dorrance Armstrong?
Yeah, Dan Quinn didn't have much for us there. We'll talk to him in a couple of hours and get a sense there. You know, the fact that Armstrong gets hurt and is ruled out, you know, in the first half, not a I can't say it's not a good sign, but obviously, you know, these guys are all, you know, they're all tough football players. If they can go back in, they typically would. So the fact that they kept him out is, you know, is definitely notable. And then John Allen, like, typically the way these things work is that in the press box, we're told some player, such and such a player is out or has an injury. They tell us the injury, and then his return is questionable or whatever. Then later they may say he'll be out or he's coming back in. In this case, we were just told he was out. And I don't know if that means that the second he got to the sideline, they recognized the severity of the injury or, you know, somehow maybe the initial report got missed, you know, got lost in the shuffle. But I think that's definitely notable. You can see on the replay on his last play, Allen's, that when he goes to the ground, he sort of grabs at his left pec. So, I mean, it's definitely going to have to be something to keep an eye on. And we'll have, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see what Dan Quinn has to tell us later today.
Lastly, like, you know, to me, you know, it's six games, and this is typically when you start to kind of get some clarity on what you're watching in the NFL, although it can change a lot from game six to game 10, game six to game 14, you know, based on injuries and different things. But there's clear limitations defensively. But what's making it worse is that they're not getting the takeaways that Quinn and Witt Jr. were able to create in Dallas. You know, they've got four on the season, I think, total. It's near the bottom of the league. They got one yesterday, their first interception. But to me, like, they can, you know, you can mask a little bit of your deficiencies on defense if you can figure out how to get a takeaway or two. They got one yesterday. It was off of a bad throw, really, the only bad throw Lamar made all day, pretty much. But it's this is, to me, like, the one thing that could answer the biggest limitation the team has, or at least mask it a little bit more. Why don't you think they're turning the ball over?
Well, I think the, you know, I understand there'll be like a natural instinct to sort of question what's going on with the defensive coaching, but I give them a massive pass because they don't have the talent. Like the last two games,
no doubt,
what happened? The last two games, the defense gets 11 sacks. When you have a pass rush pressure, it doesn't matter whether you have this group in the secondary or Darryl Green and Deion Sanders. Like, you can't – eventually, if you don't have a pass rush, the secondary is going to get beat, right? So here, the pass rush helps cover – hide up the weaknesses. Quarterback doesn't have as much time, et cetera. Yesterday, I mean, there was some pass rush, but not nearly as much as there had been. And then on top of it, with Derrick Henry, you having to, you know, sell out to get to him, it left their corners in, you know, really one-on-one vulnerable matchups, and they just don't have the personnel to get it done. I mean, they're not like yesterday. They ended up playing almost 50% man coverage, which is easily the most they've done this year. But that was, again, because of, like, was dictated by the fact that they were trying to stop.
Sell out to stop the run.
Yeah, and they just don't have the guys. So, look, this is where I'm said at the top. If you look at this from a big picture perspective, I think it's clear that the secondary, or at least the corners, is probably the number one concern you have right now. You know, we can debate another receiver or a pass rusher, but, like, you know, corner is, like, they don't even have enough guys right to be truly credible the way they do, at least at receiver and edge rusher. I don't think they can do much about that until they get more people. So, you know, I think to me that's the issue. Yes, of course, they absolutely need to get more turnovers. Joe Witt this week, when you know, he said he doesn't think he's ever had a team that went five games without an interception ever. So, okay, they got that one here, but, you know, I just think there's only so much they can do. And by the way, like, you know, this goes to the point of, like, with John Allen and Daron Payne, let's assume John Allen is back and able to go. They're getting double teamed, getting a lot of attention. I'm not saying they're having terrible years, but this is why you pay these kinds of guys to be dominators. And so that they are, you know, giving you that force either to help stop the run or get the pass rush pressure to allow you to have more defenders in the back to help the secondary. But it's not happening. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that they've been terrible, but, like, Daron Payne, I don't think had a legit stat at all yesterday in the box score. You know, I think I saw, like, Dexter Lawrence has 8 sacks for the Giants.
He was a monster last night.
All right, so he's got 8 sacks. I think Allen and Payne have combined for, I want to say, 3. And I'm not saying that's necessarily – it's not necessarily a fair comparison, but it's to say Lawrence is making – he's an impact player. He's making these plays. We have not seen that from these guys. And when you're paying those guys, that's what has to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, they're paying the price because they're fine, but not great. And the secondary is, you know, getting exposed.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, it's just true. There's no Micah Parsons. There's no, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence. They had those two players with the Trayvon Diggs before he got hurt last year. But there's just nothing in the way of true playmakers. Their best playmaker is Luvu. But yeah, it's not enough right now. All right. Well, you know, 4-2 still. We all would have taken this before the season started, with the two losses being an opening day loss to Tampa and then to a legit Super Bowl contender in Baltimore.
Not to mention, I mean, obviously Dallas got absolutely destroyed yesterday, and the Eagles are popping off about beating a terrible Browns team by a touchdown. So, you know, it's oddly the thought of Washington winning the division actually feels better this week after a loss because of what we saw behind them. But, you know, they gotta focus on themselves, as, you know, as the team would say. But 4-2 after 6 weeks, Carolina next. You absolutely would take this scenario.
Talk to you later in the week. Thanks as always. Good job.
Thanks, man. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody. We'll go around the NFL because Ben was just mentioning the NFC East. My God. I mean, the Cowboys and the Eagles are a mess. The Giants are actually in better shape. They could have won that game last night. We'll get to that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a lot more on the Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.